Hi everyone, welcome back to Next Stop. This is a special takeover of the TTT, Talking Transport Transformation. And I'm your host, Sanaa Khassouner, the Youth Ambassador on Inclusion and Sustainable Transport. Happy New Year to everyone watching. I hope you had a joyful 2025 and you are stepping with so much ambitious and dreams towards 2026. There is something very special about New Year's that makes people softer and braver. Everyone wants a clean slate, so we start making lots of promises to ourselves, to our families, to our partners. We want to travel more, we want to work out, to eat clean, to walk more, and to spend less time in traffic and more time actually living. What I actually enjoy at New Year's time is watching people sharing their resolutions online. That could be vision boards or their goals. They share their success stories from the earlier year and they share what they're moving towards for the next year. And what I notice is that most of the New Year's resolutions are actually around movement, whether moving our bodies, moving toward better routines, and moving closer to the lives that we actually want. So technically, transportation sits quietly behind our daily habits and behind those ambitious goals. In today's episode, we're gonna talk about 2026, and we have a special occasion to celebrate. We are celebrating 10 years of Tumi, so happy birthday, Tumi. And I have with me two special guests. Please join me in welcoming Mr. Jens Giersdorf, the head of management at Tumi, and Ms. Keisha Alona Mayoga. She's the advisor on inclusion and gender at Tumi. Welcome to Next Stop.
Thanks, Anna. Before we start, I want to do like a proper Happy New Year and also Happy Birthday. So I brought a little cake for us to sing Happy Birthday with.
Let's do it. Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday
to me.
And Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. Okay. Did you make a wish, Keisha?
I made a lot of wishes, and you'll hear about it later.
Okay. So before I start asking you about the wishes, let's take a step back. I wanted to ask you about the moment you joined Tumi. I know that you were one of the remarkable feminist voices in 2023, and now you are the advisor on inclusion and gender. So can you tell us a little story about how you joined the Tumi team?
Yeah, so actually when I was still living in the Philippines, I found an old tweet of mine that said, oh, I really want to join the Tumi team. This was in 2019, before the pandemic, and I was really like, wow, if I was going to join a transport team, it would be Tumi. And after the pandemic, I decided to move to Germany and was awarded as one of the, recognized as one of the remarkable feminist voices in transport in 2023. And I just so happened to be also, you know, eligible to be able to work here. And I really liked the team. And then I started working in Tumi. And it was just like 4 years from manifesting that thought of like, I want to work in Tumi. And then eventually now working in Tumi. And I've been happily working with Tumi and Women Mobilize Women for 2 years. So really, when you manifest good things, they can happen.
I totally agree with that. And this is why I always, you know, whenever I meet people from big organizations or teams that I would like to join, I always write it down. And I'm like, okay, in 10 years time, I want to work with that person. In 5 years, I want to work on a project with that person. So manifestations are real and they help us actually, plan our next steps and actually work towards our goals. So yeah, if anyone listening wants to join the Tumi team, maybe you can manifest it for 2026. So we need to have more and more projects to, you know, accommodate all the people that want to join this amazing team. I want to move to you, Jens. I know that you have worked with GIZ Brazil for so many years and you are the focal point of the eBus mission and you are currently the head of management at Tumi. We would like also to hear your story and how you joined this initiative.
Yeah, thanks, Anna. I joined Tumi in 2020. So I was already aware of Tumi before because I was working in Brazil on electric mobility and had some contact with the colleagues from Tumi, of course. And yeah, that was transitioning in 2020 during the pandemic to Tumi with some limitations and constraints. I came into work with the Tumi eBus mission. There was some delay, unfortunately, because of the pandemic. But then, yeah, at the end, more or less, of the pandemic in 2022, we had a big launch at the ITF, International Transport Forum in Leipzig. And it was great to see and meet all the people in person that we had been working virtually already together. And yeah, then we started the Tumi eBus mission, which we finalized last year in 2025. But yeah, it was my 5 years at Tumi, mainly marked by the Tumi eBus mission.
That's really interesting. I'm going to ask you more about the eBus project later in the conversation. But my next stop with both of you is going to be around the heart and soul of Tumi and what it means to both of you. As a person working on development projects at the intersection with transportation, health, and climate, I don't see projects as, only dashboards, KPIs, and targets, and all of that. It's much more than that, especially the projects that serve the people and that enhance the everyday living conditions of people. And this is basically the core of what sustainable transportation is. So maybe, Keisha, can you tell me about a moment or a project that is special to you and that represents the core of the Tumi mission?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my work has been focused on gender and inclusion, and that includes things that we're doing with Women Mobilize Women, which is an initiative under Tumi. And of course, Women Mobilize Women started before I was here, but I could recognize that it had a lot of impact with how we view women as transport users and transport workers. Since I started working in Tumi, I really immersed myself in everything on gender and inclusion and how the decisions that we make up there and the financing and everything affects the people on the ground, and even how to decide who moves, who has the right to the city, how do we plan better for women, not just women, but also children, persons with disabilities, etc. So mostly the core of what I've been learning is having empathy for people. How do we build for them? How do we build for women outside of my own experience? And through Women Mobilize Women and through Tumi, I've met a lot of women with different experiences who opened my eyes also on how we could have a different tomorrow for transport. So, and with Women Mobilize Women, we also have the Global Alliance for Feminist Transport. We had last year, building feminist cities. That was really great. Regional experiences from different people. And I'm still learning. And while I'm here, after 2 years, there's still a lot to learn on how we could improve and become more people-centric when we're talking about transport.
Actually, when I first heard about the Women Mobilize Women movement, the title of the movement actually stood out to me, Women Mobilize Women. I really liked it because I felt like our experiences working in the transportation sector differ a lot from men. And as a young woman working in this field, I look for women that I can look up to and to mentor me and to share their experiences for me, especially that when you want to work on like development issues at the intersection with the most pressing challenges that the world is seeing today. So we can't look at transportation in isolation. We always need to bring the different perspectives that concern gender and climate and public health and all of that. And to learn from leading women in this, it's very inspiring, especially for young women in the field. And I really like the initiative that you led also this year by launching the Remarkable Young Voices in Transport. And many of them are women who joined also the Global Alliance on Feminist Transport. So I do see the opportunity in bringing youth and women into global platforms and giving them the exposure to share their experiences and also to connect with other people working in the field. Now I want to hear from you, Jens. Where do you see the soul and the core mission of Tumi? In which initiative and which project? Is it the eBus?
I have been working the EBAS mission, so it was very important for me for the past years. But I think the TUMI EBAS mission is also a specific example how TUMI works. So it's a network of people that believe that we have to transform mobility. And for the TUMI EBAS mission, there was a transition from combustion engines to electrical engines in the case of public transport. But I think the main idea was not to look only in the technical discussions, that is a course very important and necessary, but also connect people, promote this peer-to-peer exchange. And one person that I had been working in the past years in over the TUMI EBAS mission, but also before in Brazil, she was also nominated for the first Women Mobilize Women conference in 2018, Ana Jaime from Curitiba in Brazil. And now she's president of the Planning Institute in Curitiba. So it shows that as TUMI, we are investing in people and knowledge and capacity building and exchange, south-to-south learning. And I think is the spirit of TUMI, and that was also the spirit of the TUMI EBAS mission and part of the success beyond TUMI. This network approach, focusing on people and the knowledge and trying to support this transition and transformation of urban mobility.
I think a lot of people listening to this conversation would be interested to learn more about the eBus project. So we're gonna add links in the description box for anyone who is interested to read more about this amazing project and what it has done in 10 years' time. Actually, as I said at the beginning of the conversation, it's really fun and interesting to look at people's new resolutions, you know. And for me, in 2024, at the end of the year, I had a target to do like a public media campaign to simplify transportation to people. And then I went to the TUMI conference in May and discussed it with Keisha, Anna, and the TUMI team. And now I have a platform to turn my idea into a real project. But when we talk about organizations, they don't share their resolutions publicly, same way as we do. They don't share their vision boards. They don't share, you know, like their plans unless you know that they are kicking off something new and they have something concrete to launch. But what do you think it's gonna look like if we're gonna together design a vision board for TUMI for 2026? What are the, let's say, the target groups that you would like to see there? What are the elements? Are we gonna see new groups or new ideas? New regions, new priority regions. What do you think, Keisha? Can you please share a little bit of your conceptions for next year?
I think for next year, a lot of what we want to do is also seeing the impact that we're doing on the ground. We can do so many publications and all of these like events, but in the end, we also want to count where it matters and see the impact we have on the networks and the community that we're exchanging with. So I think a lot of what we want to do next year is see how has TUMI done its work in these communities and these networks in the past 10 years, and how could we show the impact and see that, you know, we are doing something important and it affects the people that we work with. So I would say a lot of looking at the impact of TUMI for next year, since there's a lot to look back on in the past 10 years.
Absolutely. But we also witnessed the launch of the new UN Decade on Sustainable Transport last December 10th. And I think this beginning sets, you know, the foundation for TUMI and for other people working in the sustainable transportation field to work closer on climate-related targets, on, for example, electrifying public transportation, on enhancing the capacity building of low-middle-income countries. So where do you see TUMI in the implementation plan for the new UN Decade on Sustainable Transport? And I'd like to direct my question at you, Jens.
Yeah, we already have a lot of capacity building elements. We have a lot of online courses in different topics, different languages, on e-mobility, on gender, on data. We will launch an online course on inclusion this year. So a new topic that we want to focus a little bit more. And at the same time, as Keisha already mentioned, we want to work and focus more on implementation. Last year, we signed a contribution agreement with the European Union and the French development agency AFD. To work also on sustainable urban mobility plans and capacity building in the MENA region, Northern Africa, and maybe also linking it to the Gulf states. So We want to continue to work on the implementation of our activities and also try to identify what are maybe economic opportunities where we can maybe work with startups, with small and medium companies to explore more mobility as an opportunity for economic cooperation as well. No? We will continue to focus on people, on inclusion, on gender, but we also need to bring this together and show that this is also a business case, no? Because in times of limited public funding and resources, to be honest, we also need to come up with new ideas how we can really promote and fund our activities and also fund these interventions that are necessary to improve the transport infrastructure and our mobility systems.
Absolutely. And what you mentioned about, you know, like the changes of the funding schemes, especially because of the changes in the geopolitical landscape around the world, it became an exciting challenge, as I would like to frame it, for organizations, for nonprofits, for global initiatives to think of different ways to include sustainable transportation in the climate spaces and also to enhance the capacity of civil society organizations, youth and women, and even city councils to work and to plan for the transition towards cleaner and greener transportation. And we are excited to see what the next decade brings for TUMI and for all the other partners working in this field. Going back to the New Year's resolutions, I want to ask you about your own personal New Year's resolution. And is it related to transportation? I mean, usually whenever I plan my year, I have to set movement and mobility targets. Like, okay, this year I want to drive less and I want to use public transportation more. But my decisions are also impacted by where I live and the reality that, you know, sets the realistic expectation for me for what I can do and what I cannot do. But also I started seeing even like working out differently. Like if I can cycle in the morning for like half an hour or an hour, it's basically a workout, so it's not necessarily also only a commute. So I'm trying to include micro-mobility, active mobility in my daily routines, because also as a transport professional, I want to perceive the challenges that my community faces, and that helps me also, you know, understand the realities and the challenges and how can we solve them from the technical and from the policy perspective as well. So Keisha, I know that you ran a marathon 2 months ago and you love hiking and walking. So what would be your transport New Year's resolution? Is it to travel more?
I actually would like to travel more, but more on going to nature more and finding ways to go to nature without driving. I don't really drive usually anyway, but I used to. And I'm fortunate enough to access a lot of nature through public transport and cycling. And I think it's good to always remind people about we're living with other living things in this earth. And being in nature also kind of reminds me that, hey, this is the earth that we need to take care of, and the things that I'm doing every day affect what's around us and how we're going to be living in the future. So my resolution, which is more of like a want for me, is really to be out in nature more and to see the connection between what I'm doing with how it's affecting the environment.
Absolutely beautiful. I think it's very important for our mental well-being to be connected with nature and to spend time, you know, just breathing clean air, you know, listening to the birds and just letting, you know, the breeze, the gentle breeze hit our faces. This is very important for us and for us to also disconnect from our busy daily routines. What is your daily mobility like, Jens? Are you a public transport user, or do you work or cycle more? And what would be your next year's mobility related resolution?
I prefer cycling because I live 7 kilometers far away from our office in GIZ, so it's a good distance. And as you already mentioned, it's good because it's doing sports, physical, mental health, and so on. So I try to cycle as much as possible here. Sometimes in winter in Germany, it's a little bit difficult because of the conditions, but still, there's a good network. So I think in every city, of course, there are challenges when it comes to safety, climate conditions, security, and so on. But I think here in Germany, I would say I'm quite privileged. There are good conditions, and yeah, maybe you have to prepare for cold weather, but that's all. So I always, one resolution is, of course, always to be more sustainable, not only when it comes to mobility, but every habit and so on. And yeah, my resolution maybe to use more public transport when traveling with my family, because to be honest, I have a car and it's not an electric car, it's a combustion engine. But yeah, we went to Hamburg before Christmas last year and it was a really good experience. So I think I'll try to promote more using public transport and train, also driving or traveling with my family.
Amazing. Maybe next year we can have another episode to reflect on your personal resolutions and see how far you have come to achieve that. Actually, we hear a lot, not only in transportation, but in the development area, about youth empowerment and women empowerment. And it became some kind of cliche, you know, like a lot of projects put targets that they wanna, you know, like empower the next leaders of mobility. We wanna empower the next generation of women who will transform the development sector or the transportation sector. But I know that it's not a cliche to me because it's at the core of its mission. And we talked earlier about the different projects that Tumi has led in this field. So my question to you, Keisha, what makes the projects on youth and women different from the ones that we see everywhere? And what do you think is missing? So reflecting on 10 years of Tumi and looking for 10 years next, what do you think is something still missing to have, you know, like youth and women equally participating in designing the transport system and transforming the transport systems at also the policy level?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Tumi, it's always been important to be inclusive because if we're creating different mobility modes, not for women, not for children, not for elderly, not for majority of the world who is in one way or another disadvantaged, then how is that sustainable if it doesn't serve everybody, right? So with Tumi, I think with our programs like the Remarkable Voices, Remarkable Young Voices, Remarkable Feminist Voices, we like to give a platform to women and youth. And I'm so happy that we are both kind of a product of that. Like we are literally speaking and we are coming from that program to tell people that it's possible to continue a career in transport or to talk about transport and to include more people. And I think it's also at the core of to me to think about who else we're excluding. So that's why we're venturing out also, not just for women, not for you, not just for youth, but other like traditionally disadvantaged groups. So that includes persons with disabilities. How could we improve transport for persons with disabilities? How could we improve transport for elderly? Because in one way or another, we will be affected, or we are affected, or we know someone, a family member, who's affected by the lack of transport. So I think in the past 10 years, to me, it's been a great amplifier of what the issues are. And I think in the next few years, it would be good to see what actions are useful or are impactful or are actually doing good in the work that we are doing. So, yeah, and I think we would like to focus again, I'm saying it again, like on the impact, how we could even track, like for me and for you and for other remarkable voices and other voices who are listening to this, what has helped with the past 10 years with Tumi and how it inspired you, and how could we help turn that into action or something that we can see that, you know, it affects us.
To build on the foundation of Keisha's answer, I want to ask you, Jens. So basically, Tumi, 10 years of Tumi, the team was trying to solve development issues and to look at disadvantaged groups and minorities, and to enhance the capacity building of professionals working in this field through the online programs and all of that. So can you tell us a little bit about the challenges that TUMI focused on in the last 10 years, and what are the key challenges that will shape TUMI's upcoming projects for the next 10 years?
Big question.
That's a lot.
I think Keisha mentioned some of these examples already. No? I think the general idea of TUMI is that we include all these different voices, which are not considered also always. We have a system that is not only that answers the demands of these people, but is also more sustainable, should be more efficient, less CO2 emissions, and so on. This is the idea. No? We have a system that makes it possible to say, yeah, I will do cycling. I can walk to school as a child because it's safe. If we build a world for cars and for big infrastructure, somehow it's not human. I think we have to bring in this human perspective, because that's the scale, that's the perspective that we have when we walk, cycle, and move around in the city, and not while we are being moved or being transported in some car or another system. So of course we need mass transit in large cities, metros, railways, BRT systems, and so on. And as TUMI, we are trying to work on this and trying to electrify, for instance, BRTs or public bus transport systems. But at the same time, we have to consider, how do we want to move? Do we need to move? Because transport is a sector where emissions are still increasing a lot. From 5 gigatons in 1990 to more than 8 gigatons in 2023. And we only had a decline during the pandemic, which was a very specific crisis, and nobody wants to go back to the pandemic. But it shows that if you need to adapt our mobility system, our way that we move, we can do it. And we can manage to decrease the emissions. So I think these are some of the challenges of the past, and unfortunately they continue for the next decade, and we need to find a way to really reach this turnover point where we can say we're in a good way to reduce emissions and have systems that are friendly to all different groups that live in our cities.
It all goes back to the city. Transportation is only like one element in this vessel where we live and where we have our everyday life, from going to school, going to work, seeing friends. Everything happens within cities, and transportation have a huge impact on the way that shapes our daily lives and on the way those cities are designed. And this is why I like to think that people working in mobility and in transportation are the coolest people, because we are system thinkers and we always think of transportation and city design in multi-dimensional way. We think of inclusion, we think of climate targets, we think of people's physical and mental well-being, we think of like people with disabilities, and we think of ways that would help us give people a service that is more efficient and more affordable as well. And it's challenging, it's not easy, because it's mostly related to working with governments and city councils and people that are not easy to negotiate with. But I can see that TUMI and GIZ and the other programs are doing magic in this arena. I want to go back to you, Keisha, and in one sentence, I want you to imagine with me the legacy that TUMI wants to leave on the world's cities as a transformative movement for urban, clean, and green mobility. What would it be?
That's another. Let me think. To me, I think what I envision that we can do to transform is to bring it back to the people and always remember we're building for the people, no matter what it is, electric mobility, financing, gender, any topic of transport always comes back to the people.
I love this. And this is what we're trying to do at Next Stop. humanizing transportation, simplifying mobility, so everyone can relate to it and can see the impact it has on our daily lives. What about you, Jens? Is there something or a project that you would like to see shaping the legacy of Tumi?
I think I want to bring in nature as well, in addition to people, because we are discussing about climate change and also climate adaptation, and our cities with a lot of concrete and little space for nature and parks and so on are also an important element in this discussion. We are focusing a lot of on climate change and for a reason, but there's also a loss in biodiversity, and both developments are very concerning. And if you talk about nature, we think about maybe some national park and so on, but there's also nature in our cities, in some cities more than others. But including these nature-based solutions into planning for the cities, for urban development or for mobility, this can also have a big impact on reducing heat island effects in cities, the ventilation and so on. So I think including people and a city that's trying to identify a balance between the needs of the people and also not the needs of the nature. I think nature also provides us with a lot of important things, like clean air, temperatures, water, and so on. So I think that's some connection that I'm not sure we are still managed to do all the time. But I think this is something I would like to see more in Tumi as well, trying to include biodiversity into this discussion on climate change and climate adaptation.
I love this. Actually, this is an inspiration for a future episode on Next Stop to talk about nature-based solutions for mobility. Thank you so much for sharing, Jens. What would be your final call to action to everyone listening? They could be young people trying to get to work in transportation. They could be colleagues from the field. What would be your message to them, starting with you, Keisha?
I think it's for the new people out there and colleagues, I think it's good to continuously learn. There are new things that I'm also still learning. So if you want to learn more about Tumi, you can check out our website. We also have a lot of e-learning courses and we have a lot of materials there that you can go through, and also a community. So if you're in transport, there's someone out there who's also trying to learn maybe something similar to you, or you have something to offer. Let's be open to learning and having empathy towards other people when we're talking about transport. So that's it.
That's really cool. What about you, Jens?
I would say start doing it. I think mobility, there are also small solutions, regional solutions in your community, in the area where you live, and try to share it. So I think we also know from these activities, because as Tumi, we are working a lot of in the cities, but also on this more global agenda and like the indicator of sustainable transport and the big discussions about the commitments and climate change discussions. But I think we need to have this connection between inspiring activities on the ground and people that are enthusiastic about driving the change in their region, in their city. And we need to share, it's great if these people share their experiences, though we learn from these experiences, and we can also upscale it and try to bring it into the international and global discussion. So that's important, I think, these bottom-up approach. So get in touch with us.
Amazing. So to anyone looking for collaborations with Tumi, this is your message from Jens. Feel free to reach out to the Tumi team, and we're going to leave the links to the website where you can see how to get in touch with the team in the description box. So keep an eye on that. Thank you, Jens and Keisha, for joining today's ride. And thanks to everyone listening. Please drop in the comments what are your New Year's resolution. And I would like to see joining one of the e-courses by Tumi. And all the best to all of you in achieving your next year's goals. Until next time, see you.